is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Or no, Lori, but we are here for a very special podcast here at Patriots.com. Branching out, rookie minicamp is underway here at Gillette Stadium. The boys from PFW have been out in the bubble all day. Two separate sessions here.
Boring.
2 1-hour sessions, 10:15 to 11:15 this morning, and whenever they found their way out to the field to 3:30 this afternoon, very late afternoon session. But 27 players on the field, 18 draft picks and rookie free agents, as well as 9 tryout players who
shall remain nameless.
Sort of know some of the names, but nothing is official. Mike Reese doesn't have it on his blog. Patriots.com doesn't have it. The PR department doesn't provide it to us, so we refer to those players by number if we do discuss them. But
I'll tell you right now, that 32 can play. I don't know who he is or where he's from, but I like him.
I fell in love with 13 this morning.
You know what the beauty of that is? You try to dispute that 3 years from now. I told you 32 can play. You proved that that wasn't 32.
We'll start off with some of the key points, some of the actual, you know, big names, quote-unquote, of minicamp. Jerod Mayo, inside linebacker, he's out there. That's about all I have to say about that. Kevin O'Connell is sort of the lightning rod, I think, for our observations this morning and this afternoon. Eric Scalavino, you are the president of the Kevin O'Connell fan club and even put a little propaganda on the PFW blog.
It wasn't propaganda. It was I called it as I saw it.
And you were blind, apparently, because Kevin O'Connell really struggled, I thought, in the morning session.
He had his ups and downs.
His balls were bouncing on the field turf. He was not accurate.
His passes were... Yes.
His ball looked very Ken Dorsey-like to me. Which
the guy's a gamer.
No, which when is he why was, he stunk to
when him. He was just throwing it around, he didn't look good. But once they got the corners out there and
seven
stuff,
on seven
he started
drill,
to heat up.
He was
and then I thought
bullets.
In the afternoon he threw some nice balls.
I thought he was a little bit better in the afternoon.
He
but
was a lot better in the afternoon.
He was erratic. He was raw. He's
first day jitters.
Clearly
leave
a
him
developmental
alone.
Process.
Yes, but that's what he is.
Well, he's also a third-round pick.
But and I think he showed some ability why he was a third-round pick and some of the things that you said why he's raw and it's going
to I'd
take
like to go back and see if there's any tape on Tom Brady's first day of rookie minicamp practice.
Are you kidding me? Andy would have strung him up by the neck.
Andy well, would have like, said, no chance this guy makes the team. No
right.
chance. No
the
way.
Only one that was unfortunate enough to have actually been here that long, I can tell you that Tom Brady did, in fact, struggle just like...
They all do.
Virtually all the quarterbacks, I think. I you guys laughed at me, but I think there is an adjustment that they make to the different size of the football.
Oh, no, I wasn't laughing. I think a lot of quarterbacks
and I think that that's part of that rookie mini camp. Not that that's the first time they've thrown the pro football, because obviously they go to the combine
right.
and they do pro day workouts and whatnot. But this is, you know, the first extended
this is
practices
real now.
For real.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, for the most part, I look at these guys, the quarterbacks, and I don't think that the throwing is the strength of what's going on the field.
And I
think O'Connell did struggle a little bit. In the morning, I agree with Tom. I thought he was much better in the afternoon practice.
While we were up and down or not all seeing the same thing with O'Connell, I think we all saw the same thing with Terrence Wheatley, the best athlete on the field. Very impressive speed, fluid hips, clearly the fastest guy on the field. And, Tom, you brought it up. He was covering, Lord only
yeah,
knows, number 13.
But what you said is impressive, the fluid hips. Definitely the fastest guy in the field. And the interesting thing is we talked to a couple other writers next to us and just said, you know, what are your thoughts? Said the same exact thing.
Pretty much to a man.
Terrence Wheatley, best player on the field, just on these kinds of things,
right.
which is hard to tell. But it looks like he has it. You know,
right.
when you look, like, does that guy have it? He looks like he has it.
Certainly not 5'10", though. Don't let the stat sheet fool you. All these guys were just a little.
I won't.
he's listed at 5'9".
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. It was Will Hite, I'm thinking of.
Who
sorry.
Is lying about his height as well.
Mm. He is small, though. Wheatley, I talked to Wheatley for quite some time after the first practice. He's no taller than I am, and I'm certainly a shrimp myself. So
Will Hite, I thought, looked what he should look like, a couple steps behind Wheatley, a fourth-round pick type guy where, you know, he wasn't terrible.
Yeah,
but
made a couple of plays
was,
here
yeah,
and there.
Sort of inconsistent.
He was in the area.
All those guys returned kicks when we saw some special team segments. Matthew Slater, another lightning rod of PFW criticism, started practice at wide receiver both times, about halfway through would throw on a blue
Penny.
I always forget that word. And play a little safety. Had an interception on a tipped ball this morning. A pick
off
six, if you will.
Off 13's hands.
Yes. With a terrible throw from Kevin O'Connell.
That was a bad throw.
But, you know, he was a guy who was out there. I'm trying to think of some other guys. Anyone else catch your attention across the board?
Bo Rood, but not for the good reasons.
Yes. Oh, and Sean Crable, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention him.
You
has the skinniest legs on the planet. He's running around on toothpicks out there.
A lot of room to add weight. Vince. Vince Red. Have very, very similar body types. Red is bigger. He's got a little bit more on his frame.
A little taller.
I like the cut of his jib.
Red
though.
Is 6'6", about 260, whereas Crable is closer to 240, 245, in about an inch smaller. But the legs were really, I mean, Crable's legs are very long but very thin also. That's something
he's going to have to put on some bulk
on that lower
frame. He was standing next to wide receivers, small third-down running backs, and by far had the skinniest lower legs of all
looked,
of them.
But, I mean, the way he moved, I thought he moved very fluidly, and he shows some athleticism.
Should. He's built like a ballerina.
Well, he's a pretty big ballerina, though, at 6'5", don't you think?
That's a keeper. He's a big ballerina.
and
the Herschel Walker mode.
And he drew some praise from Coach Belichick at one point in the afternoon session. So we got to see these guys doing some of those things that we didn't get to see them do in college, like dropping in coverage, following backs around in and around the line of scrimmage. So some of those things are going to be big-time adjustments. But Vince Red has that prototypical outside linebacker body. And
well, they both do.
Be interesting. Well, but we knew Crable did.
Red is from Liberty.
Right.
So he's a guy, if he impresses you, maybe you throw him on the practice squad, develops a little bit. I think he's intriguing, Andy, like you said, because of his size.
Right.
Obviously, I've never seen Liberty play a football game, so we'll see more of him as the time goes on. But
yeah,
it could be interesting.
It's totally the size that you're intrigued by. Both guys, even Crable. I mean,
he's
going to
block
three
kicks
as a
year.
Superstar, but you're looking at a guy that has that McGinnis, long arms, long legs, can make plays on the edge, can hold tackles off, can bat balls down, can do the things they like guys to do on the edge.
And it was a little bit easier to get a read on the offensive players and who might have stood out there because they had more drills where they were actually active and throwing the ball around.
Yeah. Like the receivers are catching the ball, the quarterbacks are throwing it.
The defensive guys were on the other end of the bubble, the other end of the field, and they were sort of doing a read and react kind of thing. To sort of read what the offensive play was. They would line up in a formation, snap the ball, take maybe two or three steps in the direction they're supposed to go. It was more sort of like an educational
thing.
And
I think,
for them,
Andy, you meant when you said, I don't have anything to say about Mayo, is we didn't really just see him do anything.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to make his money in shorts. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys that I expect him to come in and be an inside linebacker and bang heads.
He's going to make tackles, and you don't get a chance to do that at this level.
And it looked like he almost wanted to a couple of times.
Yeah, he almost
there.
Ripped some running back out of the backfield's head off when he came across with a forearm.
Player
back
to be
head.
Named later.
We probably also should mention, you know, Andy broke down the whole roster. So 18 draft picks and free agent signings. Of those 9 tryouts, they're all offense with the exception of a punter. One of them is a punter.
Who may or may not be from North Dakota State.
So we should probably point out that all the guys, there are 3 running backs.
Well, I was going to go down them all.
4 wide receivers and a tight end.
I guess I don't have to.
No, I just, you know, just to and augment about, what you you brilliantly set the stage for this very special podcast,
if,
Andy.
If,
I thought
if
I would
you had
help
to put
you
your money on anyone, it looks like the punter may have one of the best chance of those guys to actually make at least get a tryout in training camp.
Certainly
I
don't think there's an established
camp.
Punter here who's a lock to – you know, have a job. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he could earn a job, go from tryout guy to win a job. You know, he was nailing the roof of the field house on just about
pretty
every
much
kick.
Pretty much everyone, yeah.
If that's good, then that's good. If anybody in the world can do that who's ever punted, then maybe it's not so impressive. But other than that, it was rookie minicamp in shorts. I don't know that much more stood out. There was 2 offensive linemen, and I promised I wouldn't rip one of them who may or may not have worn number 76 and may or may not be here as the week goes on. But you know, Wheatley was the story. Mayo, I don't think, could be the story because it's not necessarily his forte. And O'Connell.
Little uneven from
ups
O'Connell.
And downs, right?
Yep.
Anything else we need to summarize?
Nope.
We'll be back tomorrow.
It's just part of the one first step, Andy. Very exciting first step, but just part of a process.
And we should
long
say,
way to go.
First block of a marathon.
Huge group of Patriots coaches and scouts here. Scouts checking out apparently their work, I guess.
Looking
their
for
draft
pats
picks,
on the back from
agents.
Bill for the guys that they were responsible for.
They didn't get any last year. So.
But basically every face that's in the scouting department, I think, was out on the field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
if you look
right.
at the rundown of the scouts. So other than that, It was the first day of rookie minicamp. We'll be back here Saturday, one session, 10:15 a.m., I believe. Eric, Andy, Tom will be here podcasting. Paul will be home slacking off on a Saturday.
That's
right. We'll have all the news and notes out of rookie minicamp.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.